invite you to stand as you are able for the gospel. The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. John, the 21st chapter, the first 19 verses. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of his disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God, our holy Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Castaway is a movie that came out in 2000 starring Tom Hanks. It's one of those movies that anytime it's on TV, no matter which part of the movie it's at, I will watch it from that point on all the way to the very end. And it's honestly a movie I didn't like the first time I had seen it. Tom Hanks is without a doubt my favorite actor. He did Castaway shortly after he had come off the success of Saving Private Ryan. And a little ways after doing Forrest Gump, which is my favorite movie of all time. Lose also. Yep. And I didn't really like it the first time I thought it, and I was kind of bummed because they made it out to be this huge blockbuster movie. And if you've never seen it, it's the story of a FedEx executive. This is a guy who is responsible for huge, huge swaths of FedEx. And the reason he's so good is because of his personality. He's a total type A personality kind of guy. He's extremely organized. He plans everything out. This guy has basically planned out his entire life. And nothing happens without him planning it and having a plan A, B, C, D, so on and so forth. Well, this guy, who is extremely organized, ends up going on a business trip on a FedEx plane, and the plane crashes, and the pilots die, and he becomes lampooned on a deserted island. What's cool about this moment, though, and why I'm talking about it for our sermon today, is after he kind of gets his senses on this deserted island, the first thing he does is falls right back into the routine of who he is. He grabs everything he can from the wreckage and starts taking an inventory. He starts calculating how the plane went off distance and how he crashed somewhere that they won't even be looking for him. He organizes everything and starts to walk around and map the island and figure out how he's going to survive. We see the disciples kind of do the same thing in our story today. It's this moment after the crucifixion. They've been devastated because they witnessed Jesus, who they thought was going to come in and kick out the Romans. They witnessed him rather die at the hand of the Romans and going through that devastation. And they've also witnessed him two other times after the resurrection present himself to them. And they're stuck in this place of limbo, this place of a crossroad, not really knowing what to do with themselves, not knowing what the plan is or what their purpose is in this life now that they are disciples of this resurrected Jesus. And so what do? They fall back into their routine. These are fishermen. And so Peter, not knowing what else to do, finally says, I'm going fishing. And apparently he goes fishing naked. Can't knock it until you try it, I suppose. I love the stories of the disciples because we can relate to them so often. We are these people falling into our routines when we hit those crossroads of our lives. Those moments where we're not really sure what direction we're supposed to go in. And this happens both in negative and in positive ways. I see it a lot after losing a loved one or losing a job or going through a terrible diagnosis or something painful that basically changes life. And we don't know what direction we're supposed to go, and so we simply fall back into whatever our routine is. I also see it in these positive ways where it almost feels like we're being called into something new. Maybe we leave a toxic job and we're getting ready to venture out on our own and choose ourselves, but we've got this big open-ended space, not really knowing where to go. And then we kind of fall back into whatever our routine is. Every time I take a week off from work, which doesn't happen often, and I've got this whole week to myself, at the very beginning, right before it starts, I tell myself, I'm going to go hiking, I'm going to go surfing, I'm going to go work out, I'm going to start reading the books that I want to read, not the books that I have to read. And then when the week comes, I sit on my butt and play video games. And I fall back into my own routines, and I almost lament this loss of opportunity. I think we fear this space because it's uncertain, because it's undefined, and we don't like that. I think we fear the spaces where we're not really sure what to do or where to go. But honestly, I think it is in those spaces that we will encounter Jesus most often. I love this story because of how Jesus interacts with the disciples. And this is the end of John's gospel. This is literally how John ends his story. And if you think about it, when you watch a movie, when you watch or listen to a story or read a book, you always want conclusion at the end, right? That's not what John does with the end of his gospel. When Jesus sees these disciples who have fallen back into their routine of fishing and he calls them ashore, he doesn't say, hey, here's the plan, here's what we're going to do next, here's how you're going to be the church in the world, here's a step-by-step plan of how this is going to go. He doesn't offer them certainty. He simply invites them to sit with him at a meal, and then says, feed my sheep. And then the gospel ends. That almost leaves you wanting for more. More direction, more certainty, more information, more details. But I don't think that's how God works. I don't think that's how Jesus works. And I think that's the point. Castaway has become a film that I absolutely love now. As I said, I watch it every time it's on TV. A couple years ago, I saw an interview that Tom Hanks did about the movie. And in the interview, he said it was very important to Robert Zemeckis, the director, and he was very intentional with Tom Hanks about it. He said, "This is not a movie about survival. This is not a movie about a guy who crash lands on a deserted island and what he has to do to survive. That movie, that story has been done. This is a story about a man who is transformed." At the very end, Tom Hanks ends up getting home. Sorry, I spoiled the movie. It came out in 2000. That's your fault. He gets home and he's not the same person anymore. He's been legally declared dead because he's been on the island for 7 years. He doesn't have his job anymore. His girlfriend at the time has married someone else and had children. And he finds himself in this space of just openness, which is a space he had not had before. He was a guy of planning and mapping out his life. The very last scene of the film finds him at this crossroad, this literal crossroad in this rural part of the country. And all you can see is just open grass and blue skies in every direction. He gets out of his car at the crossroads and he's looking at a map deciding what he wants to do next. And this woman pulls up next to him and says, "You look a little lost. If you go this direction, you'll get here. If you go this direction, you'll get here. And if you go this direction, you'll get here." And then she wishes him good luck and she drives off on her way. And Tom Hanks steps out into the intersection of this rural road and looks at every direction. And then he looks at the camera and he smiles. And the movie ends. No more details, no more information, just open-ended. But the thing you see in his face is this peace. This idea that something amazing is possible. Folks, I think that is the space that God, that Jesus, that church, that me as pastor, that faith is constantly trying to bring us to. Not a space of answers, not a space of directions, but just a space of openness, a space of possibilities, a space where we can encounter God. And the only thing we really get in that space is this direction to feed my sheep, to love one another. I think about this a lot as a pastor. I think about the future of this church. I think about how to make it sustainable for years and years to come. I think about how to get more and more people involved, how to get more butts in the pews, even though I shouldn't. I think about honoring our traditions and our culture here in a way that honors those of you who have been coming here for most of your lives and who have been raised in this town. I think about all of these things and I want details and I want answers and I want a plan and I want to know that we're going to be okay. But then I'm reminded of this story right here. That God's not really there to give us all of these concrete answers and details, but simply to say, "Feed my sheep. Go and pack brown bags for seniors. Raise money for the hungry. Bless quilts for those who need warmth. Love each other." I don't know what your specific crossroads are in your life, those spaces of openness and uncertainty, those spaces that I know as human beings we tend to fear and avoid and rather fall back into our routines. But I do think that when we embrace those spaces in our lives, when you embrace your crossroads, all you're going to get and all you really need is Jesus asking you to sit down at a meal and then saying, "Feed my sheep." And I think that's enough. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.